much excitement here. I feel, and I know you do it too. It's so exciting. Well, happy Resurrection Day. What an exciting thing that we have opportunity. I know we celebrate resurrection all the time. If you're in Christ, you're always celebrating the fact that when he rose again, you rose again with him into a newness of life. But today is very special because this is a day designated to just honor what Christ has done for us. How exciting. We're so glad you're here to celebrate with us, to be part of this time together. Even if you're online, you're with us today. And I trust that you have that celebratory sense and atmosphere. We just declared over your homes, the ones who are at home, that you sense celebration, that you step into that, that that surrounds you, the joy, the delight that this day represents to us as believers in Jesus Christ. May you just feel it in every way, and to everyone here too. You know, as we read in the Word about this particular day, as it historically took place, it talks about after Jesus was crucified and he died and he was buried in a tomb, placed in a tomb, and then on the first day of the week, Sunday for us, that day that a group of women were going to the tomb with the spices prepared to anoint the dead, deceased body in the tomb. They were going there, and because that was tradition in that day to do that. And as they were walking along and going there, they were just speaking amongst themselves. And the Word says that they said, well, who's going to move away that massive stone? Because a massive stone had been placed in front of the cave in which Jesus had been placed in his body. And they're like, who's going to move away the stone? They knew they weren't able to do that. But in order to anoint that body, they would need it removed. And so when they got there, it said the stone had already been moved. They don't know who moved it, and they didn't see it move, but they were, and it says they were astonished. They beheld that the stone had been moved. I think that was the beginning of astonishing things that they were going to observe as they later looked in and said, there's no body here. And instead they saw, it said, a young man dressed in royal military garb, an angel, who helped them to understand Christ is not here. He's risen. Christ is risen from the dead, just as he said he would. Christ is risen. But I think of that place of them being astounded right away at the first thing that was out of the ordinary. And as you came into the sanctuary, maybe you were a little astounded. You thought, well, things don't look the way they usually look. Well, today's not going to be a usual day. If you're not aware of it, today we're going to have water baptism. We're going to have opportunity for ones to celebrate the opportunity to do an act that says, I died with Christ, and now I rise again just as he rose, and I rise just as he rose to a newness of life, and that's going to take place. And after our worship, we're going to ask the ones who are being baptized today to be before worship, after the drama. Ooh, see? We got to get every step. There's going to be an amazing drama. So wait till after the drama, and you'll get instruction to be dismissed. And when you come back, there's reserved section of seats here. Please sit there so you'll be able to be ready, okay? And if you have any questions as you're being dismissed, there'll be ones around who can help give you some direction and instruction, because we want this to be a peaceful day. Not quiet, you know, not ordinary, but peaceful. We've just already bound any place of chaos and disorder here, because this is an amazing day. But I think as those women were told by the angel, you know, he's been risen. He's risen. He's risen from the dead. And they said, go back and tell his disciples. Go back and tell him. And then when one stood around and actually encountered the risen Christ, and he said, well, Don't hold on to me yet. I have to ascend to the Father. But don't hold on to me, he says, but tell my brothers I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. That, to me, that scripture is just so amazing to think. Jesus said, because of what has taken place now, you have opportunity to step into a place of new relationship. Relationship, you haven't just known the Almighty God, Father God, as Father in the sense of the beginning of all creation and the one who was before creation but began it all. But you can know him as Father. You can know him as God. Your God and my God. So just hold on to that. May this be a day that there's such an understanding, such a glimpse and a greater revelation of the fact that, wow, what we're celebrating today is relative to our lives, my life, your life, a place of celebrating the relationship we have with the Father as Father, that we could become truly children of the Almighty God. I mean, that's more than we can comprehend. But let's begin to see and understand it more. And so we're going to welcome the Spirit of Revelation today. Yeah. Holy Spirit. Because it said that when the disciples, when the ones who went to the tomb saw that it was empty, they remembered his words that he would rise again, but they didn't have understanding, like a fullness of understanding. And gradually there was a place as the Holy Spirit began to illuminate them that they stepped into understanding. And God wants us today to have even a greater understanding of what we're celebrating, a greater understanding of what took place. And it's the Spirit of Revelation, who is our Holy Spirit, who has come. He's come not only to be with us, but to abide in us, that we can step into knowing of all truth, that there wouldn't be any place that there'd be confusion or doubt or uncertainty, that we could step into a place of certainty. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Jesus Christ has paid the price in full. It says in the word, once and for all. That means it's done. He's paid the price for you and I, that we could become members of the same family and that we could be united as a body together. So even as we celebrate today, so I want to welcome you, Holy Spirit. You are the Spirit of Revelation. You are the Spirit of understanding. You have been given to us when Jesus rose from the dead and when he ascended into heaven to be told by the Father to sit by his side until all his enemies were brought under his feet. And then he received the promise that Father had promised so long ago, Holy Spirit, the promise of you, that you would be sent and that you were then poured out so that each one of us who step into that place of acknowledging the work and the person of Jesus Christ could also be filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of revelation and understanding. You're in us, Holy Spirit. So today I ask you, open our eyes, our spiritual eyes and our natural eyes, that we would see more clearly. Open our ears today, our spiritual and our natural ears, that we would hear truth proclaimed as the word is written. As it's read to us, as it's proclaimed to us, we would have greater understanding that there's no place that we would walk in confusion, that we would understand how amazing this day is that we're celebrating, how amazing the work is. Holy Spirit, we can't know these things apart from you. And Holy Spirit, you're the one who brings conviction even to those who haven't yet stepped into a relationship with Jesus. Jesus. Those who haven't yet stepped, it's you who draw them. It's you who help them to understand. So we welcome what you're doing even today amongst any who are listening, any who are looking, any who are here or are watching online. We thank you for the many who are in many churches this morning, who've gone to church because there's a religious sense, but there's a longing in them to know something more than they know. Holy Spirit, bring this conviction that you bring into their lives today. We thank you that today will be a day of celebration in so many as they come to a greater fullness of knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, of knowing how amazing this day is, that when we say he is risen, we are talking about so much. So let's stand, everyone. Let's stand. We're going to celebrate, but Holy Spirit, let us take this opportunity to honor you also. Holy Spirit, you move amongst us, move in us. Bring revelation. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. And then help us to worship. Holy Spirit, help us to worship the one who is so worthy of our worship. Have your way this day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought or storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. And Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world in darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose. His and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No sin, guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry till final breath. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns and calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. It was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, oh God. Worthy is your name, oh God. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. 'Cause your name is the highest, your name. It's the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy. Oh,
generations. Think of that. We're lifting up our voices and joining generations that have been praising the Lord. And we add our voices today. And just think of the people gathered in our nation this day praising the Lord. Let's let our voices be heard. I don't know how much you are raising your voice, but I want to encourage you, raise it louder. We're making a sound today. We're making a sound today. A sound that's filling the atmosphere of our city. A sound that's going forth in families. A sound that's going forth and breaking hard places and bringing life. And as you sing a loud sound, receive back what he's saying to you. He's saying, I love you. I love you. And I love to hear the sounds of your praises. So let's lift up a loud song and join the generation. Let's sing that again.
Because if you've been forgiven, if you've been redeemed and you have, sing a song forever to the Lamb. When you walk in freedom, because you bear his name, just sing a song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing a song forever and ever. And the angels cry,
we exalt. Abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Ask. Ask and it shall be given. Ask now is the time. Ask and it shall be given unto you.
So lift your hands right now and thank Jesus. Just thank Him for His resurrection. Thank Him for the power over death and the grave and sin. Just thank Him and give Him honor and glory right now. Lift up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips. Give honor and glory. Jesus, Jesus, no other name, no other name, no other name worthy, no other name but Jesus deserves all honor and glory and blessing and worship. So we worship You, King of glory, King of glory. You are worthy, worthy, high and lifted up.
Mighty power moving in this place, in the presence of angels, God's glory on their wings, like the voice of many waters. Hear the angels sing. Mighty power moving in this. your glory on their wings, like the voice of many waters.
One more time. And feel His presence. For as we honor Him, He begins to touch us in our deepest, innermost being. And He begins to speak to us, and we can hear His voice say, "We're loved of the Father." He says, "Taste and see my goodness." So we thank you this morning as we celebrate your resurrection, Jesus. We declare that you are alive, that you have risen, and you're making intercession for us this morning. So we thank you for Jesus' encounters right now. Open the eyes of our heart that we might see you. Open the eyes of our heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, you may be seated. This is a little bit different this morning, so go with the flow. What we're praying for you is to have an encounter, not just a knowing of the experience. And this morning, what's going to happen is the team's getting ready. There's a drama coming. The children are going to stay in with us. It's a family time. It's a celebration. But we pray that everything that happens this morning, you'll have an encounter, a greater encounter of knowing Jesus. And so right after the drama, we're going to dismiss those that are going to be water baptized. And when you change, you'll come back in and you'll sit in these reserved seats down here. And just follow the instructions, because we're getting them as we go. But we want to, and don't be distracted with the props and everything, I just want to share with you some things to break some religious mindsets. Religious mindsets are those that we think and believe but aren't always accurate. And so he wants to take us into a deeper level of revelation of Jesus and the resurrection. And so I want to give you some things, some facts, and even break the religious spirits off of those who know Jesus and are filled with the Spirit. Sometimes, you know, we see like the passion on the television, and that's how we think it happens. But if you read the scripture, there's some facts in here that tell you the power of what happened. And it started not just with his resurrection. We're celebrating that. But it started last Sunday, a week ago, on Palm Sunday. And what last week was known as Passion Week. So how many stayed in the week from last Sunday of experiencing the passion? That's where I want to take you a little bit this morning. The first thing that Jesus did when he came into Jerusalem, and remember on his journey to Jerusalem, it was not just about the city of Jerusalem, but Jesus saw the cross. He saw his mission was to go to the cross. And so when he wept over Jerusalem, he was not only weeping over physical Jerusalem, but he was weeping over the mission that he was assigned, that he was going to fulfill. And so when he came into Jerusalem, the first thing that he did, he went into the temple. Yes. And he chased out all the money changers.
Yes.
But what he said was, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. It tells us what his mission was about. Things were about to change from worship in a physical temple, and he started to talk about you and I. For my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. So the first thing he declared when he entered in, it was about you and me. He no longer was going to be in a house made by man, but he was going to come and dwell in a house that he was shaping and fashioning, that's you and I. So that happened a week ago, and his mission was on track when he entered into Jerusalem. And then we know the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples before the night before he went to the cross. And I want to just share some things here about that Last Supper. We know that he initiated the wine and the bread, his body and his blood that was shed for the remission of your sins, his body which was broken for you. We know that. But listen to what Luke 22 says. He came and proceeded, as it was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. So after he had a meal with his disciples, the night before his crucifixion, he went and he found the place that was his custom. The disciples were familiar with this because when Jesus was in Jerusalem, this is where he went to pray and had interaction with his Father. And it was not just a small garden that we see in the movies. The Mount of Olives was the whole mountainside that overlooks Jerusalem. And it was called the Mount of Olives because it's an olive grove. It's an olive orchard. And not only was there olive trees there, but there were a lot of caves and covens. And that's where Jesus went and prayed with his disciples. So they were familiar with it. And you remember that at the Last Supper, Judas, he acknowledged that Judas was going to betray him. Judas went out. Judas went and told them where he was going to be because he often went with him into the garden to pray. And so he knew he was going to the garden to pray. He went out. And one of the other misconceptions about in the garden is a small squadron came. If you look up in the scripture, it wasn't a small squadron that came to arrest Jesus. It was about a tenth of a legion, and a legion was 6,000. So at minimum, these were 600 well-trained soldiers. It said they came out with weapons, torches, clubs. Why did they come out to arrest Jesus? Did they need that many? I believe that Judas had shared with them and saw the power that Jesus carried and the miracles and the signs and the wonders. And they knew that this was not going to be an easy task. So they didn't want to mess this up. So they sent 600 soldiers plus guards from the temple to arrest Jesus. And what was Jesus doing in the garden? I believe it was his last and greatest temptation. The last and greatest temptation you and I have is to surrender our will to his will. When we surrender our will, it's no longer our assignment, but we're on his assignment. Remember when Jesus was tempted and went into the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil. And he said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Remember that after the three temptations, it said the devil left him for a season, for a more opportune time. And the opportune and the last opportunity that Satan had was to get Jesus off his assignment, was to get him off God, the Father's will, and do his own will. And three times Jesus said this, not my will, but your will be done. This is the first time that we start to see some blood of Jesus being shed for you and I. Because it says that it was so intense, this intercession, that he began to sweat drops of blood. The greatest temptation that we face is not doing our will, but doing his will. Jesus fulfilled and was able to go to the cross because he surrendered his will. That was the ultimate battle that Jesus had to face. And in the intensity, three times. And when you watch a movie, it says you watch him kneel and pray. That's only in one scripture. It was so intense in Luke and Mark, it says he fell on his face. That he trembled in intercession. Not my will, but your will be done. It was not an easy struggle for him because Jesus is the Son of Man, had his own will, and he had to surrender his own will to the Father. So three times he says, let this cup pass by. But not my will, but your will be done. So the first act of Jesus in the garden for you and I was the shedding of blood and surrendering his will. And so as we see this drama, just get a picture of this. After the drama, we'll dismiss those who are going to be water baptized, and I'll continue to give you some things leading up to the cross.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, what's up, Sonny?
Can you tell us the gospel again?
Of course I can. All right, you guys take a seat.
But this time, start all the way from the beginning.
All right, I'll start all the way at the beginning, just for you, at Genesis. You ready? Okay.
God created man and gave him his commandment. Sat him in his garden with everything he planted. Said, this is all yours, son. Wanted you can have it. All except for this one, cause that one's just for daddy. The devil steps up in it right away with his deception. Said you can be a god if you just taste it, it's amazing. You won't die, God's a lie, throwing shade in his direction. That small seed of doubt forms a change in his perception. See, if he had nothing, he'd appreciate that one thing. God gave him everything, but he's focused on that one tree. Sin is here, and his fear he covered up and hid. He covered up in leaves, God covered him with skins. Hold that thought, let's fast forward to Abel and Cain. Two brothers in the same field, playing they lanes. See, Cain tended the ground, Abel tended the sheep. Both made an offer to God, but Cain's fell incomplete. Now put a pin in that, let's hit the Passover down in Egypt. When God hears the cries of them beating down his people, Israel's enslaved, Pharaoh saying they ain't leaving. Moses tells him God said it, but he still ain't wanna free him. So God tells Moses, here's the plan, pay attention. Tell my people, they gon' need a lamb without a blemish. One day you gon' get it, but for now, you just kill it. Take it home, smear its blood on the doorpost of the entrance. See, Israel's my firstborn, and Israel's been taken. If he don't let my son go, his son ain't gon' make it. The penalty is death, and I'm coming for the payment. Those covered in that blood will be the only ones escaping. Now let's go back to Abraham, mobbing with his son Isaac. Faith isn't faith until it's tested, so God tries him. Said, I know how much you love your son, go and sacrifice him. So Abe walks him up the mountain, straps him down and ties him. He doesn't really understand it, but he has faith. He know that God's good, so it's commanded. He's grabbing his blade. As he goes to stab him, the Lord yells, "Wah!" He looks over, and God sent the lamb in his place. Let's take a quick pause now before we get to Jesus, cause none of this will click until you see just why we need him. The word of God says the wages for sin is death. So if sin is how you work, then death should be the check. There can be no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. The penalty must be paid if God is a righteous judge. We say just let it slide, but if someone killed your cousin, would you call that judge righteous if his killer goes unpunished? Or would you call him crooked? And we know the Lord ain't that. So there's a death penalty, and someone has to pay that. The moment that you sin, your life has been indebted, and his mercy is the only reason he ain't yet collected. So that's why they would sacrifice lambs in their places, but it didn't clear the debt, it was just a partial payment. Now we gon' take a recap and see the Lord working. Nothing was an accident, it all has a purpose. Now back to the beginning at the fall. Man sins, tries to fix it on his own. God covers him with skins, but it never says what animal he's getting it from. All we know is to cover man, he shed innocent blood. Now remember Cain and Abel? Cain's offer was rejected. You ever wonder why Abel's offer was accepted? All I know is Cain offered the work of his hands. Abel tended the sheep, so he must have offered a lamb. Now look at Abraham and Isaac. Are you seeing it now? A ram in the bush sent to take the place of his child. Cause Abraham had faith enough to give up his son. God would later do the same so the forgiveness would come. Back to the Passover. Oh man, here we go with that lamb again. The innocent blood of a lamb is covering man again. You don't see the pattern or get what it means? Then it all becomes clear when Jesus steps on the scene. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. I am the Lamb without blemish, sacrifice for your sin. The Lamb of God without sin. Little children, understand, you can't do it on your own. It is me who covers man. I'm the one who took your place when death lifted up his hand. Gave you righteousness for faith. You're the one who broke the law, but it was I he sent to pay. Gave my life for those who hate me. I went quietly and I ain't even try to beat the case. I'm the offer he accepts when your works get rejected. I'm the one who pleads your case before the judge in heaven. Knew that you were guilty, but loved you enough to serve your sentence. The wages for sin is death. I died to expunge your record. See, I am the Passover. The wrath of God is waiting. Every life not covered by the blood to be taken. I'm the way, the truth, the life, and I will always be. I am, beloved. It was always me. Woo! Woo!
I can feel it. Can you feel it? Yeah. That's what he wants us to do, is feel and experience. Not just feel and know, but to experience it in our heart. Because it's a heart transformation that changes you. What we want to do is dismiss all those that are going to change for the baptism. And you can go out the back there and you get instruction in the hallway where to go. When you're changed, leave any valuables you have with those that you came with. Or give them someone out there, but go and they'll dress you. They won't dress you. They'll show you where to dress, and then you'll come back in and you'll sit in these seats right up here, and you'll get further instruction. So you may be dismissed now, and if you're already ready to go with us this morning, let's see. Well, I want to continue with the story. So after Jesus in the garden, then he was taken and he was apprehended by that army that came and arrested him. And they took him before Pilate. And listen to some of the things of Pilate, because if we don't realize why Jesus went to the cross, we won't realize the importance of his resurrection. But Pilate said this, "Then he released Barabbas." Remember, Pilate gave them a choice who they were going to release, a choice between Jesus and Barabbas. Barabbas was a well-known criminal. Yeah. And the people who shouted when he came into Jerusalem, "Hosanna, Hosanna," are now yelling and shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so Pilate asks, "Who shall I release?" And he says, "Release Barabbas." And he says, "For them, but having Jesus scourged, he handed Jesus over to be crucified." We need to understand that word scourge. It's also in Isaiah chapter 53. And I'm going to read a scripture in a minute. But the word scourge means that he was whipped and beaten. But it's more than beaten. And I heard something that he received 351 stripes. I've always thought it was 39 stripes. But each whip was like a cat of nine tails. So each stroke was like nine strokes, and he got 39 of them. That's 351. And at the end of this whip, of each one of these straps, was broken glass, sharp metals, and objects. And the Roman torment was to strip and fillet the skin of that man. When they got done, it says in Isaiah 53 and also in Psalm 22 that he was unrecognizable. Yeah. It helped me give a little bit when John sees him after the resurrection, why he didn't know him, because at the cross he was unrecognizable. When he went to the cross, he was already a bloody mess. He was scourged. And it says, by his stripes we are healed. And then he was crucified, which was the most horrific punishment that a criminal could get in the Roman days. And he was crucified between two criminals. Boy, what he's done for us at the cross. I want to read out of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he suffered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross." When Jesus hung on the cross, he not only became your substitute for your sins, but he became sin of all mankind. You saw in the illustration. You were nailed, and your sin condition was nailed to the cross with Jesus. Let me read it again. "And he bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin." Notice, he bore our sins so that we might die to sin. So you were nailed to that cross with Jesus. Your sin became his sin, not just a covering, but he became sin for you and me. "His body on the cross so that he might die to sin, that you might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed." So the scourging that Jesus took, the 351 lashes of the whip that tore his body and shredded it without killing him, that left him marred without recognition, was for you and I. That by his stripes you and I are healed. So he not only died for your sin condition, but he died for also the disease and the sickness that came in as a result of man's sin condition. Isn't that powerful? Again, he himself who judges righteously, and he bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you return to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. So the cross brings us back to the guardian of our souls, back to a relationship with our Creator. That when we acknowledge his sacrifice on the cross, we're coming back to a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf. God made him to be sin who knew no sin. It had to be a perfect sacrifice, a perfect lamb without spot and without blemish. Jesus fulfilled that as the Lamb of God. Without sin, he took on sin for you and I. He became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's powerful. On the cross, there's a couple statements that Jesus did as he got near the end. And after 6 hours, you realize that he was crucified, put on the cross at 9 a.m. After 6 hours, after being scourged and in that pain, he says, my God, why? And this is the first time that Jesus has referred to God as God and not Father. Throughout his relationship in John, he always says Father. He calls God Father, but here he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Listen to the power of this. God the Son, who has been with God the Father since the beginning of time, has never been away from God the Father. Even when he came as man into the earth, he still had a relationship with God the Father, but God couldn't look on the sin that was put upon Jesus. And Jesus was separated spiritually from God for the first time in eternity. And that's why Jesus says in another scripture, he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. In other words, his body went to the grave, but his spirit he put into the hands of God the Father. And so he said, it is finished. What was finished? Not Jesus, but the old covenant was finished. And at that moment in the temple that Jesus came and drove out the money changers, at that moment in the Holy of Holies, the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies was rent in two from the top to the bottom. This was no, you couldn't do it humanly because it was, I don't know how tall, but it was thick. But it showed that entrance to God was no longer only for a few, but for all of us. He rent the veil, and when he said it's finished, at that exact moment at 3 p.m, when the priests were doing their sacrifices, can you imagine being a priest in the temple, the high priest in there, and that veil's rent? They didn't understand that it was rent so that you and I would have free access. If they're getting done dressing, just have them come on in and sit down while we finish talking, and then I want to address the people being baptized. So that's just another thing. Let me read to you Romans chapter 6 real quick. Romans chapter 6 in verse 3. And this is a question I want to ask all you out here. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Yes. So not only were we nailed to that cross, but just as Jesus was put into the tomb or into the grave, so we were put in with him. Yes. Now we weren't literally put in, but our sin nature. The old man, which is our sin nature, was placed into the grave with him because the sacrifice for man's sin was death. So Jesus experienced death for you and I. And that 3 days and three nights in the grave, it says his spirit went down to the places of hell or into the gates of hell, stripped Satan of all the keys of death and hell. And what that Jesus, you know, experienced separation from God for you and I, so that you and I, through Jesus Christ, would not have to experience separation because of our sin.
Thank
Whoa. What a sacrifice. All of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life. That's what the resurrection, that's what this day is about. We've been crucified with him. We no longer live, yet Christ lives in us. And the life that we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So this whole expression up here, the cross, crucifixion, the tank. What do you do when someone dies? You bury them. That's what the water is about. We're buried with him. The good news is, if we don't die with him, if we're not crucified with him, we can't be resurrected with him. There has to be a death to the old man to experience the new life in Christ Jesus. Woo! That's what the resurrection's all about, is new life. Next week, we're going to start talking about now how this new life affects our life here and now. Because we're changed. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Someone give me a signal out there when everybody's all changed, or I'll keep going. Because I want you to have an encounter of the importance, not just a knowing of today that Jesus was raised from dead. The whole world's celebrating, but so little people understand that it was to change you and bring you back into his likeness and his image, which he created Adam and Eve in the beginning. But because of their rebellion, sin entered in. And because sin entered in them, everyone that is born into this world has a sin nature on the inside of them. But Jesus had God the Father had a remedy, and it was Jesus. Send my son to die for man's sin so that he might restore you back to right relationship with him. Boy, woo! Let's go on. How are we doing out there? Is everybody changed? No, they're still coming. But have the ones come in that are ready. So that we're getting an indication. I'm getting nervous. Let's read that again so it's so powerful. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For you have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Woo! Knowing this, and this is important, knowing this, that the old self was crucified with him. In order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin. Now, if you have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus. That's what this is all about. This is making a public confession of an inward work. Jesus was crucified publicly. And when we get born again, he wants us to make a public confession. It says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Woo! And so they're making public confessions this morning that they chose to receive Jesus as their sacrifice for their sin. They chose to identify with his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and to receive new life in Christ Jesus. And that's why we're doing it this morning. It's a public. Amen. Jesus died publicly for us. When we get born again, we publicly announce resurrection life. Amen. How are we doing? Are we all in here? Okay. No, we got a couple more. There's a couple more coming, Josh. Okay. Well, I'm about. Are they getting ready?
No, not
here. Oh, well, we'll move. Yeah. What I want to do is we're going to move on because I think it's important. I want all those that are going to be baptized to come on up here in front because it's a public confession. To come on up. Just stand up here and woo! Wow. Come on up. Yes. Wow. Now, some of these have received Jesus as Lord of their life. But you know, as we grow into a revelation of what the cross provided, people, sometimes we say, you know, I accept Jesus as Lord of my life, but we have no idea what it means. And so some say, you know, we understand more and we want to make a public confession. And some it's a fresh baptism. And it says in Acts chapter 2, after Peter preached a great sermon, people were convicted and pierced in the heart. And they say, what must we do to be saved? And he says, repent for the remission of your sins and be baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know it says in Matthew, and I'm going to break some traditional things right now. In Matthew, it says, go into all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28 says, in the name. We don't know the name of God the Father. It's Elohim. You can use a lot of El Shaddai. You use a lot, but it's not really known. Holy Spirit is just called Holy Spirit. But one name we do know, and that's the name of Jesus. And the revelation, those that heard this command to go in all the world and make disciples, in Acts chapter 2, they had a revelation of who that name was. And so through the book of Acts, you see them baptizing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that we can cover all the religious spirits. We're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a biblical example and demonstration. So I'm going to ask them some questions, and I'll ask you the same questions because I'm going to lead them in a confession. They're going to make a public confession. But if you've never received Jesus, and even if you have, make this confession because I guarantee you don't know the fullness of what you did. Because we're still discovering that. And so I'm going to ask them a few questions, and then I'm going to lead them. And I want you to pray with us if you're here. Jesus died for your sins.
Thank you.
And he wants you to walk in new.
Yes.
Newness of life, resurrection life, and power. What did sin do? It brought in disease, sickness. It brought in a confusion of your identity. If you're struggling with your identity, what is your purpose of being here? Jesus comes in and he tells you what your purpose is. He saves you and he gives you resurrection life. He redeems you. So you that are all being baptized today, do you, before God and before these witnesses, confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes. Yes.
And acknowledging Jesus as your Lord and Savior,
yes.
Are you willing to lay down your life for him and not your will, but his will be done?
Yes.
If you say that, let's pray together. I want you to join in with me. Say, Father, I thank you and praise you that you so loved me, that you gave your son Jesus to die for my sins. I confess I'm a sinner. I thank you that my sins have been nailed to the cross and I died with you. I thank you now that I'm buried with you through water baptism. And I thank you that I will come out in newness of life in resurrection power. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. I receive your fullness now. I receive salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to do an order. I've asked a couple people to be first and to follow. What we're going to ask once you get in, you'll get assistance to get in the tank. And when you get in there, you'll sit down. And you'll sit down this way with your back this way. And if you want to cross your hands to hold your nose, when you go underwater, you are going to be immersed. That means we're following Jesus' example. It says when he came up, he was baptized when he came up out of the water. You can't come up out of the water if you didn't go into it. And so the whole symbolism is that you died on the cross with Jesus, and now you're buried in death. That's water baptism. The old man is buried. And when you come up out of the water, new creation man is making an expression and receiving resurrection life.
Yes.
And so you can cross your arms if you want. You know, I want to tell you, it's really warm. It's like being in the Caribbean. So it's really warm. It's not being in frigid Arctic. And so if you want to make a brief statement, or in the river, if you want to make a brief statement, and the brief statement is, you know, that you're going to make a public now confession to the congregation of your decision to follow Jesus. You're not going to give your whole testimony of how you got there. You're just going to make a public confession that Jesus is Lord of your life. You can put that in your words, and then we'll baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So you ready? So I got a few. If you want to be, you can line up over here and you'll go through this door and you'll come out here. You'll get assistance. When you come up, we want families to come together. If there's a family, a group, you can come up and stay out and watch baptism. Once you're both done, they'll take you out and they'll show you where you can dress. You can come back in when you're done. If you want to observe what's going on, you can kind of do that with the rest of the people. But we got a couple of people going to start us off, but you can line up on this wall over here. And one of the things I want to tell the congregation, because this is really exciting, they made a public confession. The public confession, when the women went to the tomb, and on that stone was actually a big angel that had rolled away the stone, and he was sitting on there. And when the women saw him, they were terrified and trembled. And he says, he's not here, he's risen from the dead. One of the things I want us to do is when they come up out of the water, and everybody listening, I want us to... They said, he is risen, and that's what we're going to declare. He is risen, but when he was raised, You were raised with him. So the women shouted, he is risen. I want you to shout when they come out, he's risen, referring to Jesus, but they're also risen in newness of life. And you're celebrating that. Yeah. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
So we'll shout when they come up out of the water. He is risen. We're referring to Jesus is risen, but because we died with him, we were buried with him, we're being raised with him, so they're being risen into new life, and you're making that declaration over that and declaring that to them. Amen?
Amen.
We ready? Okay. Oh, there's more. Just sit with your back here.
Yep.
You can get in over here if you want.
It is nice and warm.
Yeah, put your feet up. Yeah. You want to say something?
Okay. Yeah.
Tell me your name.
My name is Michael Tapper. Today I'm giving my life to the Lord. He brought me out of darkness into a new life. He buried the old me. And I am now new.
Woo! Go on, cross your hands. Michael, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. Woo! He is risen! You want to get up?
Thank you, sir.
Hey. Step on there. Did you get some towels? Oh, you got your towels? Okay. Dolly, you want to come on out?
Mother.
I just scoot up here, so we, yeah. This is Dolly Tapper. Dolly?
My name's Dolly Tapper, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life.
Amen. Amen. Give me a fresh hand. Dolly, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, go on up. Wow. Yeah. Woo! This is what Resurrection Sunday's all about. This is Chase. You want to say your name? And you want to...
I'm Chase Hurley, and I once was baptized before my faith was tested, and I'm baptized now after the testing of my faith and still choosing Jesus as Lord.
Okay, cross your hands. Chase, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. Woo!
Thank you, Lord.
Let's sit up here, okay? Yeah, that's good. Tell us your name and you want to say.
My name is Rachel Bullen, and I officially accepted Jesus back in October, and I'm starting to live the life for that, and I just wanted to get water baptized again to confess Jesus as Lord.
You want to brush your hands like this. Rachel, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. He is risen. Hey. The Bible says, old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen.
Amen.
And are becoming. Wow. Come on up here. Okay. Come on up here. You're going to want to get down a little further. The taller people have to get a little further down. Jason, you want to say your name and anything?
My name is Jason Powell, and today I give my life to Jesus.
Amen. Cross your hands. Jason, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. This is Garrett, and Garrett's, yeah, it is warm. Garrett's three children, he's talking to them about understanding what they're doing, but we believe that just like Jesus said, don't forbid the children to come to me. Many times the children come and just confess Jesus as Lord. They don't have any idea, and later in life, they have a personal encounter with him. And so Garrett is a father of his three children, he's going to be an example. You want to say your name? And
mm-hmm. Yep. My name is Garrett Studel, and I once was really lost, and now I'm found, and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Okay. Cross your hands like this. That's right. Garrett, I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Woo! Second Corinthians 5:17, it said, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. So next week we're going to start talking about the new things that happen when you come into Christ. You want to tell us your name? And
my name is Rachel Dovin, and I'd like to thank Jesus for his grace and undenied mercy.
Okay. Father, I thank you for Rachel. I baptize her in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus Christ. Whoa! Woo! I'll come around here. Got to sit in the middle here. Want to tell us who you are?
My name is Debbie Nath. I was baptized here many moons ago, but I have fallen in my faith, and I have since come back to the light. So this is my way of saying, I'm here, God.
You want to cross. Father, I baptize Debbie, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. Woo! 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 This is Debbie's son, Hunter. Did you want to say anything, Hunter? Hunter has accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And now, Hunter, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name. Amen. Good job, Hunter. Woo! You know, when revival breaks out back in the 60s, the Jesus Revolution, if you've ever seen the movie, they were baptizing them in the Pacific Ocean. And that was a hippie generation. I was part of that. They dramatically got saved and had transforming experience in their life and delivered from drugs and all kinds of things. So there's another outpouring coming, and we're on the verge of experiencing it. Come on over here. Okay. Well, you can come right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know.
Okay. Come on in.
Oh.
See, it's not bad. Come on, sit up here. Scoot up a little further. Tell us your name.
Sincere.
Sincere. And you want to say anything?
In recent years, I feel like I've lost my way, but I hope that I can feel all the acceptance and forgiveness in my later years, and I hope I can walk this path again and be as happy as I can be.
Amen. The Bible says by grace we're saved. We're not hoping, we're believing. And so Sincere, what a name, Sincere. He's sincerely confessing his faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? You want to crush your arms? Sincere, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We just cover Sincere right now. That Father, the encounter that he had, Father, he has a revelation of the love of the Father, the love of God, that Father would overwhelm him from this day on in Jesus' name, that he knows he's forgiven and that you have set him free in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, sit up here.
He's going to be in the morning.
Okay.
Okay, Dad.
Huh? What's your name?
Dakota.
I had to ask him his name because his twin brother's coming after him, and I wasn't sure. So Dakota has received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And so Dakota, you ready?
Yeah.
I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
come on up forward. And what's your name?
Hi, I'm Denver, and I go out to God.
Denver loves God, so Denver, we baptize you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We believe God's touching this next generation at an early age. There's no junior Holy Spirit. Okay, come on. And what's your name?
Gracie.
This is Gracie, and you love Jesus? Yep. Gracie, I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say anything? No. This is courtesy, and courtesy loves the Lord Jesus, and so she's following his example of being water baptized in Jesus' name. Cross your arms. Courtesy, I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the time of revival, this is going to be a normal part of service. People coming in because they're looking for the answer. People are really desperate. Hi, Jamie. Come on up here.
Hi, my name is Jamie. Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I give myself to God. For God I live, and for God I die.
Amen, Jamie. Jamie, I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You might be wondering what's on their t-shirts that says baptized into Christ Jesus, and that's Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. So everyone being baptized, we want to... Amen. Say your name and anything.
Okay. My name is Jordan Rucker, and today I'm giving my life to Christ.
Amen. You want to do this? Jordan, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. You can come out with him if you want, Curtis. It's not cold. You sit down? There he is. Oh, this is courage. Wow. takes a lot of courage to make a public confession that you're changing lifestyle from the old to the new. So, courage. Do you love Jesus?
Yeah, I love him.
You love him. Yeah, I do, huh? Courage, I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, okay.
It's okay.
You got
it.
There
you go.
Woo.
Yeah.
Good job. You want to wait here while your dad gets baptized? Okay.
Mom.
Step right here. Step right here. Yes. Come on in. Sit up here.
Sit down.
Yeah. Sit down.
Yeah. Okay.
Tell us your name.
And okay. My name is Curtis Simpson. I'm giving my life to Jesus today. I'm already a good man. When I rise, I'll be a greater man.
Curtis, I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Resurrection life! Woo! And sit up here.
Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you. Tell us your name and you want to make a statement?
Huh?
You want to make a statement? Okay. Tell us your name.
I want to start off by saying God is good and that He is the head of my life. I was baptized when I was younger. My name is Eric Hamiel, by the way. I was baptized when I was younger, but that was before I had my own understanding of Him, and I want to give my life to Him because He's been so good to me.
My precious Lord, yes. Eric, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. Woo!
Thank you, God.
New creation. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jonah. Come on over here.
There you go.
Good. Okay, sit down. This is Jonah. Jonah, do you love the Lord?
Yes.
Yes? You want to be water baptized in His name?
Yes.
Okay. Crush your hands. Jonah, I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Good job, Jonah. Stay right here. Want to tell us your name?
My name is Janesta Davis, and today I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Janesta, I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! 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 Your hands. sins. And tell us your name and in confession.
My name is Jaywan Dunnigan, and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Jaywan, I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Woo! Jonah said, that's the first time I've ever done that. Well, Father, just seal what you're doing in each one of these. It's not just an experience, but an encounter that transforms them in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Mom, you can come out with them if you want.
Chase.
This is Chase. I don't know if you can see him. He's already down in the water. But Chase, do you love Jesus? You ready to get baptized? Okay, here we go. Chase, I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Good job. Come on up here, okay? A little closer. What's your name?
Hope. Hope.
Oh, this is Hope. Boy, some great names. Sincere, Courage, Hope. Do you love Jesus, Hope?
Yes.
Yes. In the name of Jesus Christ, I baptize you, Hope, in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Woo! Good job. Bye-bye. Step out.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Ooh, it's warm here.
Now you sit down. Yep.
Hi, I'm Delana. I'm blessed, I'm humble, and I'm looking for more blessings, and why not take Jesus on a new road with me?
Crush your hand. Delana, I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Delana. Wow. Thank you, Sean. Yeah, sit way up here. The taller they get, the more they have to go this way. Tell them who you are.
My name is Deshaun Coney, and today I want to give my life to the Lord.
Okay, you crush your hand. Deshaun, I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. If anybody else came. Let's give the Lord a praise. Wow. Stay here a minute, Mike. Come here, Mike. No. Some of you had the vision, and we lost our baptismal a few years ago. It was a portable one, and we loaned it out, and we forgot where it went. They kept giving it out, and so we had several say, we need to get a baptismal. So we had a few of you out there that saw a Tractor Supply, the horse trough, and so we saw that, and then Mike, he's back here, he's real humble, but Mike put it all together and tested it out, and so if you have never been water baptized, it's easy to put up. Mike made it easy, and he says you're welcome. We can leave it up if we get reports today that you want to be baptized next week. And it's start of a new life.
Amen.
So, amen. Thank you. Thank you for all the help back there. Thank you this morning for showing up, this very unusual Easter service. I don't like to say Easter, but Resurrection Sunday. And I pray that you have revelation, not just an understanding with the mind, but you have a heart encounter, that your sins are forgiven. In fact, let me read, where's my Bible? Do I have it? Yeah, let me read, because I can't stop without reading this. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, you too all formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God. How many love him? But God. That's how you were, but God's not leaving you there. But God, being rich in mercy. Aren't you glad for the mercy of the Lord? Because of his great love. Aren't you glad because of his great love? He didn't leave us in that condition. With which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whoa. Not only were you raised from the dead, but when he ascended into heaven, you ascended with him in the spirit. And he's alive making intercession for you and I, because we're carrying on the assignment that he started. We're his messengers in the earth. We experience and share what we've experienced. Christ in us. It says, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been, you're not going to be saved, you have been, he's already done it, have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by the so-called circumcision which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you at that time were separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now... I love the but nows. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Amen. Let's give the Lord another praise. Before Amy leads us in this song, or she's going to sing to us, she's going to do something. Galatians 2:20 again says, I've been crucified. I have been crucified. Yes. Not you're going to be, you have been. Yes. Nevertheless, I live. Yes. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me.
Yes.
And the life that I am living, I'm living by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me just read this to you. In his substitution, we share with him from the cross to the throne. We were crucified with him. We died with him. We suffered with him. We are justified with him. We were made alive with him, raised with him, and now seated with him in heavenly places. Father, just seal everything that was done this morning. Thank you for encounters that we continue to have, a revelation of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. We thank you that the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells on the inside of us. And so we thank you for resurrection life in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
Hallelujah. Part of dying to self is recognizing the importance of the Lord's culture and laying down your own culture.
Yeah.
I know you've heard me say this before, but look around. Examine what's going on here right now. We had a Caucasian apostle baptizing African-American believers. Today's political culture is trying to make us enemies, trying to divide us. There's only one thing that has the power to overcome that. That's the blood of the Lamb. That's the only thing. John 17 says, he's waiting for us to be unified. He is one with the Father. He's waiting for us to become one with each other.
Yeah.
One with each other. Yesterday, for the past 3 days, Netflix released a testimony of Moses, a testament of Moses. I watched it twice. I watched it with my wife yesterday. A lot of powerful things in there. People are forever searching for their identity. Moses was one. Moses was born a Hebrew, but he didn't know that. He was raised an Egyptian. He went off to Midian. He married a Midianite woman. He came back. He was searching for himself. Moses didn't know who he was until God told him who he was. And when God told him to who he was, he stepped into his destiny. Your identity is in Christ Jesus. When you came up from that baptism, you said, that's who I identify as. You see, not African-American, not German-American, not Asian-American. Those are parts of your identity, but your root cause, your root core identity is Christ Jesus. Amen. That's your identity. Amen. Stop looking for your identity. Woo. You have an identity. It's in Christ Jesus. And anything that opposes that identity opposes the Lord.
Amen.
We are one in faith. We have one purpose. And that is to expand his kingdom. To do that, you have to know who you are. You are his son. You are his daughter.
Amen.
The blood you bleed is bled through Christ. So when we die to ourselves, we are laying down those selfish identities, those things that say, I'm this, I'm that, or whatever. And we are picking up his cloak. And we are saying that we are living for you, Lord, and to live for him means to put down this other stuff, no matter what the face of the enemy looks like. And the enemy can come looking very, very seductive. The enemy can come appealing to things that you want to believe. But if it is in opposition to the things of the Lord, it is not of the Lord. And you know it deep down. The Lord says he places this sleuthing ability in you. You know what is true. You know what is true. You might not want to believe it, but you know it's truth. Listen to that voice.
Listen
to that voice.
That's good.
Because what people are afraid of is a unified church. Because nothing can stop a unified church. The only thing that can stop a unified church are the believers in the church. We're the only ones that can stop us. Make up your mind that I'm not going to be a party to stopping us.
Amen. Yeah.
Racism, sexism, genderism, whatever ism you want to call it. I don't care what it is. How about some Jesusism?
Hallelujah. All right. Come on, do this. You remember an old song by Ron Canole? Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Yeah, you remember. Come on. 3, 4. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Oh, yeah. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Yeah. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. For he is risen. He is risen. And he lives forevermore. He is risen. He is risen. Come on and celebrate. Come on and celebrate. Come on and celebrate. One more time. Come on and celebrate. And I will sing it. The resurrection of our Lord. Hallelujah. What an awesome day of celebration unto God for all of our rebirth. Amen. As you go forth today celebrating, know that our apostles are also celebrating, not just Jesus, but our mother here in this church, because today's her birthday. So let's all sing to her. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mama Linda.
Resurrection. Be blessed as you're going out. Greet someone and just share your faith in Christ. Just say, I'm a believer. That will encourage them. It will also encourage you, because now we go into the mission field. When you enter that door or exit that door, that's the mission field out there. So go in the power of his might.
Lean down. Come on, to say something.
I want to say hello, God.
I want to say I love God, I love everybody, I love Jesus, I love everybody in the entire world, and I like the city, and Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Go in the power of his might and strength. Have a blessed day. Good to see you.